You're listening to the Teach Better Talk podcast, featuring expert educators eager to share progressive tactics to reach more students. Teach Better Talk is created by teachers and fueled by passion. Let's get started.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 120 of Teach Better Talk. I'm Ray Heward, and I am with my mostly dead friend, Jeff Gargis.
Mostly dead?
Yeah, have you seen Princess Bride?
Forever ago.
Princess Bride talks about, okay, first of all, you should go see that movie tonight. That will be your like date night with Amy. But they talk about being mostly dead, and I kind of feel like you're mostly dead.
Yeah, I'm recovering. I'm getting there. My voice is coming back a little bit. It's still a little
annoying. How long does it take one teacher to recover from the Teach Better Conference 2019?
That's a good, you know what? Let's just go right into our first like challenge to our listeners. If you're listening to this, hashtag TeachBetter19, tell us how long it took you to recover from the conference.
For real though, because I thought it would be like a really good solid 24 hours. And so I chose, like I think you did too, Jeff, to just sleep for 24 hours straight. And I did successfully. And then I had this moment on day two where I'm like, nope, still going.
I didn't sleep for 24 hours. Actually, on Sunday, I got up and I let like Amy, you know, if you were at the conference, you know, my wife, Amy, like ran the registration and stuff and helped with so much going into the conference. She was stayed in bed till like 2 p.m. on Sunday. I got up with the kids, but I really didn't do much. We just kind of relaxed, hung out. We cuddled on the couch, watched TV. And I did go to the movies with Jacqueline at the end of the day, but still very relaxed, a very, very relaxed Sunday. And like I let myself sleep until the kids got me up. I didn't get up for a workout. And then Monday, like I tried to get up earlier and like I was just hurting. And I looked at Amy. I'm like, well, I guess this is a 3-day recovery, not a 2-day. Like it's going to be multiple days. So I'm still working on it.
Yeah, I was going to say, Jeff, I want to preface. I didn't sleep 24 hours. I was being a little dramatic. I woke up at 3:45 Sunday morning to catch a flight. And I'm pretty sure I snuck out of your house because I want our listeners to know Jeff Gargis did not drive me to the airport, ladies and gentlemen.
No. Who drove you to the airport?
Oh, man. I went with Becky and CJ Reynolds. It was a ball. They are still just as energetic, just as cool, just as fabulous at 3:45 in the morning. And I just want to preface, we had our networking event Saturday night, and we were at that networking event until like 11 o'clock at night plus. So I feel like CJ and I just saw him like 3 hours later being like, oh, hey again, you know, different setting.
Yeah. So can we give a shout out to Becky and Ashley, our two amazing teammates that flew in and just rocked
it. Oh, yeah.
All
our Teach Better members. So fun.
Yeah. So big shout out to them. I mean, to CJ too. He's pretty awesome.
Wait, no, but I was talking about Becky from the Teach Better team. I was talking about...
Oh, you were with Spectre.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. She's awesome. Well, yeah, we can give her a shout out too for taking you to the airport so I didn't have to.
Oh, yeah. And she's outstanding. If you're a science teacher, really, if you're any type of teacher, but if you're specifically a science teacher, she is a must connect with. No question. Hands down. Go look her up. I actually have her Twitter handle. Can I give her a shout out?
Yeah, but I'm going to disagree with that. I think if you are a human being, you should go.
Well, I said that, but especially if they're science. She was on Teach Better Talk a few episodes ago, and she's more legit in person if you could even believe it. Like that episode was just a taste of her awesomeness.
Yes. Yeah, let's give her a shout out. What's her handle?
Her handle is at SCHNEKSER. Super easy. Her last name.
Awesome. So shout out to her as well.
Well, then I just feel like we've got to shout out CJ Reynolds, too, because I mentioned him like 13 times.
Yeah, let's shout him out. CJ's pretty
okay,
cool.
He's super cool on Instagram. He's starting to use Twitter more often. He's at Real Rap with Reynolds, or Real Rap Reynolds. So go check him out over on Twitter and Instagram, too.
And he's massive on YouTube, so go find him on YouTube. He does an awesome
job. Oh, they're really good.
There, so.
Yeah, really good.
Yeah, so, I mean, honestly, a shout-out to all of our presenters and everyone who came out, and all of the volunteers were unbelievable. Our team was so amazing. It was such an awesome job there. So shout out to all of that. Just shout out to everyone that came in any capacity. It was awesome.
Well, so. Jeff, we were talking about how we wanted to structure episode 120. And I want to make sure we tell our listeners, we're doing a little bit of a different episode here because of Teach Better Conference 2019. I think that we should be very honest with our listeners and let's reflect on how it went. I mean, Jeff, you put countless hours into planning this. I was just, you know, the person that stood to the side and looked good while, you know, like pointing. It was really great. But it was so much more than just, you know, airport rides and, you know, cool shout outs on Instagram. It was about the most epic 3 days of my life, I think.
Yeah. And honestly, the leading up to it, and I hope everyone listening knows that you were just goofing, and like the amount of work you put in is crazy. I still haven't added up, but I want to go add up how many different designs you created for this event. But I think it's close to 1,000 or more. And just the way you put it together with the marketing and stuff. So don't sell yourself short, even though, yeah, you did just stand up there and look good though. Yeah, it was crazy. Like leading up, I mean, the level of just stress, more, I think anxiety than stress, but the anxiety leading up to it, just worrying whether we had everything in place, what it was that was going to hit that we didn't think of. And then we're like setting up and we're like, oh, we don't have enough chairs. We're not going to have enough chairs. There's no way to get chairs because we kind of sold too many tickets, which was okay. I'll take that problem in a day. And no one cared. That was the best part. Well, we had people sitting on the floor, standing. I mean, it was amazing that way.
Let's talk about that really quick. So we truly, just to paint a picture for our listeners, we were very stressed, but we tried. It's not that we hit it, but like, Jeff, you really were like very, very overwhelmed because you took the majority of this kind of orchestrating the chaos, which we so appreciate on the team. I don't know what we'd do without you, but I know our listeners are like, what is she saying? Jeff doesn't do any work. However, we got there Thursday to set up. And there really was a moment, we are going to be very honest on this podcast, where we realized we didn't have enough chairs and there really was no way to get more chairs. And the room couldn't have fit more chairs, even if we had more chairs. And so we kind of had this reflection of, well, we really want people to have an amazing experience. And what do we do when they walk in and they don't get, you know, a seat? Like, how foolish is that? Mm-hmm. And my favorite message from Kristen Nan, who I'm such a fan of, meeting her in person was a completely embarrassing fangirl moment. And she sent us a Vox message, which I know our group didn't get until way later. But she was like, I'm so excited to sit on the floor at the Teach Better 19. She's like, of all the people, all 300 people that are there, there are so many people that are showing up just to enjoy the experience. She's like, we're all teachers. Who needs a chair? You know, like, and truly, especially Saturday morning when Dave Burgess spoke, there was not even standing room. Like every chair was filled. Every person either had a seat or was like crunched in a corner standing. And then there was still people around the corner just listening to his keynote because there was so much energy in the room. People just wanted to be a part of it. We packed that room.
And on Friday night, you know, Friday we ended our day. I don't think we could have ended it any better, but we had except for Adam Welcome finishing it off. I actually had to stand for you did an awesome closing there. And then Adam closed it all out with his keynote. I was like behind the big banner that we had, cause that was the only spot I could find. So like my head peeking around a banner watching like some sort of creeper.
You know, Jeff,
like that's how full it was.
Jeff, if we were on Ellen, we would take this idea of sitting behind the banner and we would sell, like in Teach Better 2020, we should sell two seats behind the banner and that could be like a shtick we do.
Okay, sure. I do want to, speaking of the chairs, I got to give a shout out to three people. Because one of the things was we brought in so many chairs we needed to fill in, make sure we had enough chairs to at least try to accommodate everyone in the main hall, that we actually had to pull some chairs from some of the breakout sessions. And then we had to get chairs to the breakout sessions. So Alex Orris, Chad Stebbins, and Brianna Shaner were throwing chairs, stacks and stacks of chairs on these little chair dollies and running them to sessions from like after the kickoff stuff to the first sessions and then after the last sessions to the final keynotes. And like, I don't think people even realized that was going on. They were so like quick and easy about it. Like a huge shout out to them. Like that made it so we were able to have a few more people sitting. We still have people sitting on desks and sitting on floors and stuff like that in sessions and still obviously in there, but the three of them just running back and forth like that was crazy. I didn't even realize it was going on. They just took care of it.
So Jeff, I have a question, but it's going to allude to what you were just talking about. This is an awkward transition, but do you know your love language?
I don't know. I don't. I'm not even going to like try to say I do. I'm sure I do if I thought through it, but no.
Okay.
Tell me about it.
People could go like look up love languages. I'm going to fake mine because the really, in short, for people, for our listeners, I really, appreciate when people like show up well for me. Like if you're helpful, if you're dedicated, if you're like a team player, that's a huge part for me. And those three people, Alex, Brianna, and Chad, who were just, they hustled the entire time they were there. They were so dedicated. That to me, like, gets me choked up. Like even throughout the conference, those were the most hardworking people, and they were simply doing it for free just because they wanted to make the event awesome. Like, how do you even express gratitude for that?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to give an additional shout out to Alex. Alex is an old buddy of mine. I played soccer with him in high school, and then we reconnected when he discovered I was in education. And I asked him to, he was our you know, like our room manager, right? So we, one of the things that we wanted to do was to have a room manager in every room so that every presenter got introduced as the rock stars they were. Well, we had some people that we had some illness and some things that conflicted, and a few of the people that were going to do that weren't able to show. So we were actually short three room managers. So Alex was somehow able to utilize it and get everyone covered. So everyone got introduced using us, putting us in a room here and there. And even when like our room managers wanted to go to different sessions, he was able to do that. It was amazing that I literally never had to worry about it. Like he was just pinging us all going, hey, you got to go here real quick. You got to go here real quick. Yeah. He just had it done. And like, it was just such a relief in my opinion. And for me personally, because I was the one who was like so big on like having the room managers, and then like, we weren't quite ready for it. So yeah, super shout out. Like I'm the same with you. Like when people like put in that effort when they're not, you know, being, you know, financially compensated, like it's such a, yeah, I agree with you. Like I've got chills right now, cause I'm just so just happy that that happened and so proud, I guess, and so honored that they were willing to put that time and effort and energy into it. Just really super cool.
So Jeff, I have two different things that I want to talk about. One is another shout out to an amazing support that we had. And then also I really want to talk about the presenter and attendee experience. So which one do you want to talk about first?
Let's do a shout out. Let's keep on the shout out train.
All right. Can we shout out Kevin Butler?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh my goodness, Kevin Butler. Was he not the coolest guy that – not only he was a presenter at the Teach Better conference, but he came Thursday night to help us set up, and he was there present, eager to help the entire time.
He just showed up Thursday. I had no idea he was planning to come. Like we never talked to him about coming to help and set up or anything like that. He showed up, and he didn't just show up and like help. He showed up and like helped. Like he was blowing up balloons. He was moving things. He was doing that. And then he was there helping, you know, with moving things around. Like, yeah, I mean, just phenomenal help. Yes. And then, by the way, he also ran an amazing breakout session.
I think one of people's favorites. Like he did, he was so all in making that experience amazing for the people who joined his session. I was such a fangirl when I originally met him because he is somebody I've followed for years. He's had a great influence or a huge influence on me. And he's kind of one of those mentors that he probably had no idea he was a mentor to me, but because I followed him for so long. It was so great. And to be able to see him not only as the amazing educator he is, but gosh, is he just a great person? Like, I love good people. Kevin Butler, if you're not connected to him, go on Instagram and Twitter. That is a good man.
I got so pumped up when he showed up Saturday morning with his Teach Better shirt on.
I was like, wearing the Teach Better shirt. That's crazy. So one of the things that we put together for the Teach Better conference early on, this was a huge focus that you brought to the team, Jeff, is we wanted to take all the pieces that we had experienced at conferences, because we go to, I mean, geez, tons of conferences throughout the year. All the things that we didn't like, all the things we did like, we wanted to kind of like explode all of those ideas and make it the best experience ever. Also for our attendees, but really we started originally focusing on our presenters. How do we make them feel appreciated and loved and get the most out of this experience? What do you think, Jeff, and I know there's a lot, but what do you think was the biggest element that we offered our presenters to try and celebrate them, you know, in the Teach Better conference?
I think there was two. So I already mentioned that. So I already mentioned about the room manager. I think that was a big one, because that's something that's always been weird when you do a breakout session. You're kind of like looking in the hall and you're like, all right, I guess I'll start now. Like, and then you have to like talk about yourself to like get things going. I love the fact that we had people introducing each speaker. If you're a speaker that doesn't do it a lot, that's really awkward, especially if we had several speakers. It was their first time. So it's kind of awkward to like have to introduce yourself and explain why, try to explain why you're up there, versus having one of our teams saying, hey, this person's amazing, you're going to learn some stuff, because that's why we selected them. I think that was a big piece. And then something we did that was very intentional for this reason was we had every single one of our speakers was labeled as a featured presenter.
You just like spilled one of our secrets.
It's not like they can't figure it out. That was intentional because everyone is a featured speaker. I've never liked the separation. Actually, I did the same thing in my wedding. I had 8 guys stand up for me in my wedding, and they were all best man. Literally labeled yeah. best man. And it was that same thing. Like, I don't like that separation. I feel like that shouldn't be there. I think if you're someone who is a more quote unquote sought after or more, you know, quote unquote featured, like people will know that. That's just going to happen naturally, right? But you give that to a first time presenter and they have a little more confidence, and then they're going to bring more value both for themselves and the attendees. So that was a big piece for me. And I do think, I think we did a good job communicating. I think that was a big piece, and that I always appreciate when you get a ton of emails that just give you every piece of information you have. So I hope they felt that way at least.
So Jeff, it's funny. I was going to pick 2 different things. Oh, so I'm excited for yours. Sweet. But first, you didn't really highlight that to the fullest extent. I just want to add to that. When you talk about a featured speaker, this was a discussion that we had on the team, because we had like our 6 to 8 like lineup that we kind of released early on, and then the proposals opened, and we had all of intention of that lineup being the quote unquote featured speakers. Mm-hmm. You know, it was Tara Martin, Ryan Sheehy, Adam Welcome, Dave Burgess, like Shelley Burgess. I mean, it was that great span of people that we originally, you know, expressed excitement for. But as we were looking through the number of proposals, like, holy cow, did we not expect to get even half of the proposals we got? It was such a deep discussion of who, and it was such a challenging discussion of who was the best fit for the conference for that year at that time, that by the time we were looking at the people that were selected, it was almost comical to not have them be featured speakers, mm-hmm. because they were all talking about topics that we as a team were so incredibly passionate about, that you are the one who brought up, you know, hey, we should make them all featured speakers. And initially I pushed back on you. Like, I was like, no, Jeff, that's not really how this works. And I was thinking in a very traditional mindset, you know, of, you know, well, conferences, you know, you have featured speakers. It's like a second tier of presenter. And you very, you know, purposefully, which I really appreciate about you, stopped and said, well, why? We just spent hours and hours slaving over these proposals. We love each and every person's topic and the people that are going to be there. What value does it bring or not bring to really make sure we highlight them? And it was an amazing choice. I'm so glad we did that. So that was all you, dude. I really appreciate that.
I just want everyone to realize that how often it happens that you disagree with me and then you realize that I'm right.
Okay, hold on. Hold on. That's not what I said.
So what were your 2 then?
Now I'm nervous that like we don't want to tell everybody this, but okay, here's the honest truth.
Well, maybe we shouldn't.
Oh well.
Don't worry, I can edit it.
No, you can't. All right. Everyone knows I do all the work for the podcast. So first of all,
I didn't realize we were doing a comedy show today.
Stop.
That's
it.
Great.
Okay, first of all, we did promo images. We did 3 or 4 or 5 promo right. images personalized for each presenter. So throughout like the 6 months they had to share about their session, they also got 5 or 6 very, you know, special promo images that they were able to push out to their network. We had them record commercials, which if you listen to Teach Better Talk, you know that because you heard some of them at the beginning of the episodes. I mean, I think the work that we did to celebrate our presenters was a big piece, because that way it wasn't just that they were sharing with their network like, ooh, look at me, I'm presenting at this conference. But really, we wanted to take some of that burden off of them, the work of putting that together, and really like amplify their message even before the conference started. I think that a lot of presenters really appreciated being celebrated that way.
Yeah, and I think I need to highlight you, because that was all you putting those together. And I think from a presenter standpoint, if you're not someone who's great with like design and graphic stuff, like just having that. Now I now have everything I need to promote myself at this for going to this conference, and it's designed, it matches with the theme of everything. It looks good, it feels good. And I didn't have to put the time and effort into design it. I didn't have to stress over it if I'm not good at that. And I just had it, and I was able to do whatever I needed to promote it. So I love the fact, I'm glad you highlighted that one, because I should have mention that too, because I think I feel like we gave them everything they needed to help push it out there and really celebrate the fact that they were coming. So that's a good one, right?
Okay, and the last one is the controversial one that I think is really important to talk about, but I want it to be tasteful, okay?
Okay.
We didn't charge our presenters. Mm-hmm. Like, our presenters, and you've said this forever, I'm just stealing your words and I'm taking credit for it. This is my original idea, listeners. We literally could not have the conference without our presenters. I mean, that they are the ones that shared their expertise, that shared their insight at this event over 2 days to hundreds of people. And we couldn't have done the event without them there and eager to share with their network. And I love, more than anything, because I know it's expensive to put on a conference and whatever, I love that when they were accepted as a presenter, they didn't need to pay registration, because I think that that's really important. I think that more conferences need to acknowledge that presenters are the reason that the event exists. And I loved being able to offer that to our presenters.
Yeah. And I totally understand when conferences do ask the presenters to pay for registration. It's very expensive. And you can't always afford to lose money. And there is a lot of value for a presenter who comes. Obviously, like, I know, like, our presenters got a lot of value out of coming and presenting and stuff. But that's just something that I've always been big on. I don't like when we have to pay, but I completely understand it. So we do, you know, what we have in the past and stuff. So I, you know, that was a big one for us. And I'm really glad that we did that. And obviously, you know, a lot less money came in because of that. And that was okay. When we launched this and we decided to do this, one of the first things we talked about was like, well, this can't be about making money. It's got to be about building something, creating a platform to raise voices, share value, and create something. And if that means we lose a whole bunch of money, then that means we lose a whole bunch of money. Our focus was from day one was on, are we going to create an experience that's worth us losing money because people gain something out of it, and we build friendships and relationships, stuff like that. And I think that worked. So I'm really glad that we did that as well. And we had several presenters who told us they really appreciate that. And so that meant a lot that they recognized that and shared that with us. So
what about the experience as an attendee? Like, how will you kind of go through what was our main focus for our attendees? And when I say attendees, I really do mean presenters as well, because when they weren't presenting, sure, they were attendees.
Yeah.
But for everybody who came to Akron, Ohio, which, by the way, Jeff, no offense, nobody comes to Akron, Ohio if it's not for the Teach Better Conference. Come on. But they found a way to come to Akron, Ohio, and they experienced a two-day event that, if you look up hashtag TeachBetter19, people were, I mean, explosive with their excitement. The feedback, the blogs that have been written since the event, I mean, I've been telling people that I think it went better than I even imagined it could have ever gone. So what did that experience look like? What do you think what do you think our focus was? And then what do you think made it so special?
So I actually think what made it special is in my mind, it was a 3-day event. Yeah, the conference was Friday, Saturday, but everything started Thursday evening.
Yeah.
We got right into networking with people there. And I was actually like, I loved, you know, I got over there a little bit later, because we were setting up and walking in, and there's 50 some people
more than
just
that,
hanging out, chatting, having a good time. Yeah, there's probably more. That was probably closer to 65, 70 or something like that. But, and that's when it started. So that group of people, they were already like connecting with all these people who they only knew from Twitter or Instagram. They were already building relationships. They were already pumped up before they even walked in the door on Friday. So I really think that was a big focus of ours. We really pushed to all of our presenters, like, hey, we don't want you to just come present. You got to come out at least Friday night, if not Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I also think that was also a big piece, is that we also pushed that really hard for Saturday evening networking as well. Obviously, some people had to leave. They got to get home. They got to fly, stuff like that. But we had a nice crew out Saturday night too. And I think too often you have like that last day of the conference and it's like, oh, it's Saturday. Oh, it's 4:00. Everything's done. And I love that we were pushing and saying, no, your experience continues. Keep making these connections. Keep building those relationships so that you have something to take home. So then during the conference, I think a big thing, and I talked about it, you know, at the closing of Saturday, and it was a fact that we worked really hard to focus on the content that was coming, not the fluffy stuff. We did our best, you know, we obviously worked hard to, to create the environment there through, you know, lights and signage and banners and all that type of stuff. But we we picked the venue we picked because it was small and comfy. We didn't pick it because it was a big, amazing looking conference center. We didn't spend all of our money on that type of stuff. We really focused a lot of our time and energy on, like you already mentioned, slaving over all these proposals to focus on the content we wanted to come, like good, thoughtful, valuable sessions and topics and talks that people could actually take and go put in place in their classroom or their school or their district. And I think that really created the atmosphere. And then I think there was little things like the everyone being a featured speaker, you know, putting everyone on the same level, like doing the network. And I think that just made it very much a family feeling. Everyone felt they were all together in this, whether you're a presenter, attendee, whatever. And with the atmosphere of family and friends, and we were just all together. We're all trying to be better together, I think was the key to that. And that was a big focus of ours. So I was super excited that we were able to pull that off, or at least I feel like we did. And based off a lot of the reflection and like you said, following that hashtag #TeachBetter19, it sure seems like we were able to pull that off. So
yeah, I was voxing with Joshua Stamper, who I know has been on the Teach Better Talk podcast. I'm such a fan. And the fact that we got to meet in person was totally a moment. But we said the same thing, that our favorite part of the conference was the intimacy. And it really, you know, a lot of people have asked me this past week, you know, oh, so next year you're going to make it like 5,000 people. And I'm like, you know what? I'd rather do a smaller event and sell out and consider, you know, long-term, maybe we'll do two a year. I'd rather do that than ever to get it big enough that we lose that intimate setting, because that's the Teach Better family right there. You know, even at 300 people, we were all crammed in that room having some of those really intentional, intimate moments during some of the keynotes. And, you know, there were a lot of people that were extremely vulnerable and gave their all these past 2 days. That intimate feeling, in my opinion, you can't unnecessarily duplicate that when it's too large. And I think that this really allowed for that intimate setting. We created traditions. We were able to build family, build network. And that's really something that we then try to duplicate in everything that we do as a team, is wanting people to feel supported and wanting, you know, more for them throughout their experience. But can I joke with you, Jeff? You mentioned the Thursday networking, and then you mentioned the Saturday. Are you skipping Friday? Because
no.
The reason I don't know why you skipped it, because that was like a surreal experience Friday.
I skipped it. I was saying that like there's a lot of events that have that middle, like the middle day network. And I think one of the things that made ours special was that we started it with networking and we ended it with networking.
Okay, here's what
we focused on, relationship. But yes, Friday was awesome.
All right, our listeners, if you weren't there, even if you were there, you can relive this. So picture a great restaurant, right? And they have this addition that has a wall of windows, and then it's like a second room, right? And in the second room, there's a few like high top tables, but more or less, it's just, you know, it's kind of like a bar area. You can order food. It was great. The wall of windows, though, made it look like a fishbowl. I'm just letting you know. And I walked out of the fishbowl at one point and then was on my way back in. And holy cow, we had that room so packed that people's backs and bodies were pushed up against the window because there was so many people. We should have been kicked out of that space for fire code. I'm just saying.
Well, and then what I love is when you walk out of the fishbowl, as you're calling it, we had another, there was like six or so tables in the regular part of the restaurant that were all filled with our people as well, like with the conference people. And like, that was such, I have a great picture. I think I shared this out on Twitter. If not, I shared it on Facebook. Maybe I'll share it again on Twitter. But I like climbed into like one corner by the bar, got on a chair and just yelled at everyone. And like everyone turned so I could get a picture. And it's just like, great.
I've never heard you yell that loud. We were all in awe.
Well, that was with like hardly any voice. I wasn't even sure I could yell, but I got it out. So
he was like, "Hey!" And everyone turns around. He's like, "Picture."
And then, I love it. I'm a picture, and then I'm like, "All right, go back to it." And everyone just turned right back to talking. Like nothing.
So funny.
It was great. I shared that on Saturday during my talk. I shared that on there. It was just such a cool moment. It was really, really cool. I am gonna say though, like touching on like 2020, if you're expecting a big massive conference, don't, because I'm gonna fight hard to keep it small, keep it intimate. Because I want to do that. It's going to sell out again. That's just the way it is. Like, we know that at this point. So when we do launch that, we do put that out, you need to get in.
So,
because otherwise you're gonna be out. I think it's gonna. We sold out about a week and a half prior to this year. I think we're gonna be selling out at least much closer to like a month in advance. So, it's gonna be interesting to see.
Can we give our Teach Better Talk listeners a little bit of insight that we won't release to anybody else?
Sure, maybe.
Oh, okay, here's my little insight to our listeners. First off, we are doing a Teach Better 2020. I guess technically we haven't announced that to anybody else, but for you guys, we love you. Just so you know, it's happening. And it's probably going to be in the fallish time. Do you think that's fair?
Yeah, might be a little bit earlier than this year, but right around the same.
That gives our Teach Better Talk listeners, that gives you some prime insight on kind of when you might want to save the date. Mm-hmm. We'll finally give you the dates a little later. Session proposals this past time opened up like March, April. You might want to keep your eye out for those, maybe around the same time frame. Kind of little things like that. We are excited to do it. But I have to say, Jeff, I know we won't share anything about our lineup, but the Teach Better Conference 2019 lineup, in my opinion, was one of the coolest elements of this conference, because the people that showed up for this event, the presenters, the attendees, the people that were there, is what made the event special. And I was worried, and we've talked about this, I was worried that you can't duplicate that. Like the lineup that we had was so insanely fantastic. The authors that were there. I mean, I was very concerned that we were going to do 2020 and we couldn't duplicate the awesomeness of that lineup. And now that I've been seeing the 2020 lineup, I have zero concerns again. I have zero concerns. We have almost a better lineup, if that's possible, for Teach Better 2020.
Well, you're talking big game right now, aren't you?
I am. And I'm only talking big game because these are our podcast listeners. They're family, Jeff. They can know these little secrets, but don't tell anybody else.
Okay. Shh. Good, good, good. Okay. Can I throw – you've thrown a lot of questions at me. Let me flip it on you.
Okay.
We've touched on a lot, so I have an idea where you're going to go with this. But can you – I want you to lay out for everyone listening your favorite moment of the conference.
Moments.
I need you to narrow it down to one moment where you're like, yeah, that's it right there.
So I think that my favorite moment that comes to mind can't be something that you're thinking. There's no way.
Okay, go.
Okay, so I have two, but there's still no way that you're thinking the same two moments. My first moment is, it was about the coolest moment for me when I was speaking right before Adam Welcome, and I got to show the video of my students.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it. My students, about a week before the conference, I was telling them about what I was going to speak to these teachers about, and I had a student in my class say, well, Miss Hewer, why would you be teaching them that? Like, we should teach them that. And I looked at this girl and I was like, you're right. I mean, what I'm talking to these teachers about is something that we talk about in our classroom all the time. Why don't you guys do it? And so they put together a little video teaching our attendees something that they practice every single day. And I loved being able to show that video, because for me, I was a little nervous speaking to that whole crowd, just because the excitement, the adrenaline, we hadn't really slept in a few days. And the moment those students came on the screen and started talking, I was like, totally, totally game on. Like, I was back. I had my, like, those are my people. It was so fun to have them there.
That was an awesome moment. It was really, really cool. I sat back and watched, you know, just shy of 300 teachers follow your students word for word and listen to them. It was awesome.
It was awesome. But that's not what you were thinking. What were you thinking I was going to mention?
I have no idea what you're going to mention.
Oh.
I'm interested to hear your second one now.
Oh, are you really? Okay. That was a big deal, though. I'm going to talk about Brad Hubbard.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that was a pretty awesome moment.
All right. So I'm not going to do the story justice. So I'm going to tell our listeners, after this episode, go listen to Brad Hubbard's episode on Teach Better Talk. He was, I want to say, super early on. I wish I had the episode number. But Brad is the superintendent of curriculum instruction in a district in Illinois that I connected with him, I want to say, last February. And you'll listen on the podcast. He tells this amazing story about how he hands out challenge coins to his district. And Jeff and I in the episode, go listen to it. But Jeff and I in the episode are like, okay, how do we get one of those? And, you know, since I've seen Brad, numerous times actually since the episode, since initially meeting him in February, I keep joking with him. I'm like, hey, I got to get one of those challenge coins. Like, hey, that's something I'm working for. And he's like, Ray, you can't just get one. You have to earn it. That's what he always tells me. You have to earn it. And so Saturday night when we were at our networking event, super late at night, I just want to preface for our network, like we had literally slept maybe 8 hours in 3 days. I mean, we were so exhausted. And he comes up and like hands me the challenge coin and says, you know what? You earned it. And I'm like, that was a moment. I'm going to carry it every single day with me in my wallet. And anytime you see me speak from now on, I'm going to have that challenge coin with me. Just feel free to come up to me and call me out. I'm going to have it on me. It was super cool.
I have mine in my hand right now. And Bradford was episode 75, Make It Matter. It came out back in June 2019 and really was a phenomenal episode. That was a really cool moment. Yeah, it was a super cool moment.
See, and both of my moments were like, again, very small and intimate, right? Like moments mm-hmm. with my students, moments with Brad Hubbard. I mean, that's to me what makes the biggest impact, you know? So what do you think your biggest moment was?
Honestly, so I had a interesting moment that happened to me that I just didn't see coming. I think that's why it's probably the biggest one for me. And I talked about it on Saturday. So on Friday, toward the end of lunch, I'm walking down the main hallway and I see way down. I'm like down by where the sponsors are, I look down by the registration, and I catch my brother Mark.
Who lives
an hour and 20 minutes away and have no reason to be in the area. I'm the youngest of three. He's my middle brother. And just walk over. He's like, yeah, I was in the area. But in the area, he was like 25 minutes away visiting a client and came over. I didn't even know he was aware that like I had an event going on or anything like that. And he's like, yeah, I just thought I'd stop by. He's like, there's a lot going on here. Like, this is really cool. And he walked around. He's like, I'm just going to walk around. I just kind of walk around, look around, stuff like that. And my brother is, he's a, when I say this, I always feel like I'm making him sound like he's a bad person. Like he's not a bad, he's an awesome brother. He's always been a great brother, but he's just sort of, he's a hard-headed guy. Always held me to a very high standard. So I've never really felt like I was able to impress him. I know he's proud of me and all that type of stuff, but I've never really been able to like impress him or feel like that. And he messaged me Friday morning, or I'm sorry, Saturday morning, very early, and told me he was proud of me for the event and for what we're doing as a company. And it was the first time that I'd ever had him tell me the words, I'm proud of you. And that was just a super cool moment for me that I shared. I know that's more of a personal, not necessarily like connected to the conference as much, but it was just a really cool thing where I got to sit back and say, yeah, I'm proud of me too, kind of a moment. But then there was another one where we were in the at the networking on Friday night, and Chad and I kind of sat back like right against that fishbowl wall you were talking about in the corner. And we just kind of looked out like on what was going on there, like all the conversation stuff, and Chad just kind of leans in and he goes, how did we do this? And I leaned in. If you've ever seen a movie, that thing you do, I stole from that. And I said, I led you here, for I am Spartacus. but jokingly, that was just a joke. But like, we just sat back for a moment. It was the moment of us sitting back going, like, how did we do this? Because we're like, there's so many people in here that are experiencing so many different things. You know, people who are meeting like authors who they've followed forever. They're getting to like have a drink with them and talk with them. There's, you know, speakers who have spoken all over the country that are getting to talk with teachers they would never met, and just everyone having a blast. Just looking at that and then just realizing like, hey, we pulled this off. Like day one made it. Like we made it through. Was just a really cool moment to know that we were able to give people that experience. Was just super cool.
So what's the goal? What's the mission? Like, if we're going to do this again, if we're going to, you know, keep all the work, it's not just the conference. I mean, we try and duplicate this and create these experiences in everything that we do. You know, what's next for the Teach Better team as we continue to reflect on the conference and plan our entire year, you know, for 2020?
The mission hasn't changed. It's always been the same, and it continues to be the same, and that we're trying to impact kids. And we do that. We've chosen to do that by helping teachers be better, whatever that means to them specifically, so that they can go be better for their kids. The conference was, that's our focus, was not on fluff and stuff. It was on what can we actually, how can we provide them an experience and content and what they need to go back and be better in their classrooms. We do that with everything we do, every training we do, every piece of content we put out. Every time we come up with a new crazy idea, like a podcast, it's all about how can we continue to support teachers and give them experiences and give them whatever we can, whatever they need to go back and be better for their kids. And so I think it's 2020 is the same thing. We're gonna do that in a few newer ways, some other ways we're gonna try and do that. But like that's, I don't think anything changes. You know, that was the point of the conference. That'll be the point of 2020 conference and everything else we do.
No, you're right. I couldn't agree more. I love that this is the focus, because if that is the mission, then almost anything we do is going to be fun and enjoyable and powerful. I love that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Super pumped. So I want to ask, can I ask a harder question?
Oh God, a harder question? Sure.
Yeah. So looking at 2020, conference 2020, our listeners now know about it. Mm-hmm. From your standpoint, what would you change?
Oh.
We don't let them get in like into the minds right now.
I don't feel like they can know all these secrets, because I have a list going of things I want to change. Okay. One piece I do want to change is more networking events. No, I'm just kidding. There was a lot of networking. It was networking from 6 a.m. to 12 p.m., if not later. Honestly, I think the only part that was big for me that I want to change, I'm going to say two. One is I was talking to Neil Gupta, and I know, Jeff, you've been connected to Neil before. He's an incredible educator, mm-hmm. big middle school guy. Him and I were talking this week about tradition. And I want to continue to create and hold true to the traditions of the Teach Better Conference. Mm. I think that that really builds unity, that builds family, that makes things unique. I think there's a lot of traditions we started this year that we will continue doing. Even the crazy 5 a.m. run that you guys did with Adam Welcome.
I didn't. Don't give me credit. I copped out.
Yeah, you did. I was going to try and give you credit, but never mind. You suck.
I think I justified it, but yeah.
Yes. But there are also other traditions. I'm excited to bring some new traditions to next year that I really think 50 years from now, when they're reflecting on the first ever Teach Better Conference or the second annual Teach Better Conference, you know, those traditions will still stay pride and true. But the other element is our sponsors. You know, our sponsors are really the people that made this possible. They, you know, sponsored our Wi-Fi and the room, you know, Nearpod did amazing things for our attendees. And I want to make sure that they are celebrated and more prevalent next year. We had some incredible sponsors and our setup was good, but it can be better. And I want our attendees, our presenters, everybody there to celebrate our sponsors along with our presenters. And so I think next year I want to put a bigger emphasis on our sponsors being a part of the family. I think that they were, but I think we can do better in that area.
I agree with that. I'm good with both of us. I think those are two great. Yeah, I don't even know if I necessarily call them changes, more as focuses, which I'm okay with. I can agree with that.
So. I also think we should bring out more podcasters next year. What do you think?
I agree. I think it would be great. We had three podcasts out. So we had the Leading Through Learning, or Learning Through Leading, sorry. We had Duct Tape, Educational Duct Tape, and then we had the Aspire Leadership. So three amazing. We had Nick and Jake and Joshua out, which was great. They're all releasing episodes right now. You can catch them like randomly, you know, bonus episodes and stuff with chatting with people. I agree. But yeah, I'd love to see like 10. Like, I don't know where we'll put them or whatever, but I'd love to see more. I just think it would be awesome to have people just always be able to jump on a podcast and just have them going. I think it's such a cool thing. We obviously, you and I really love podcasts. And yeah, I agree with that. I think that's a good one.
Jeff, we really haven't talked about it. And you touched on it a little right then and there. But it wasn't just that the podcasters were there. It was that they were recording episodes with our attendees. Mm-hmm. So you as a teacher might be listening right now who maybe haven't taken the plunge in trying to get on a podcast could just sit down with Joshua Stamper or Jake Miller or Nick Sutton, who in my mind are incredible podcasters, and just have a conversation and not only have a conversation, but really be live and have that conversation in person. You know, obviously Jeff and I record these virtually. I'm sitting in the middle of my house right now. And Jeff, I'm assuming you're in your basement and we're, you know, two states away from each other. Being able to have a one-on-one conversation and have it be recorded for a podcast episode is just such a cool experience that whether you are in your first time sharing your story or you've shared your story 100 times prior, those are really cool moments. And I was honored. I got to be on Joshua Stamper's Aspire podcast when we were at the conference. And that's just cool. I've recorded with Joshua before, but to be able to be live with him face to face and record an episode was super cool. I really like what he's doing over there.
I listened to you talking on that too, and it was fun because I'm going to share it because you complimented me.
No, I didn't. What are you talking about?
You did. He asked like any advice for someone putting on a conference, and I think you said, you know, lots of planning and really thinking through things, and then get yourself a Jeff Gargis.
That is what I said.
Also, while you were on stage at the Teach Better conference, you referred to me as your best friend.
I didn't. No.
You did. Nope. I have it recorded.
Do you?
However, I also have myself recorded saying the same. So, you know, we can't really get out of it at this point, Ray.
Guys, it's all for show. It's a lie.
So anyway, yeah. It was fun getting to kick everything off with you on Friday morning because we just got to go up there and be mean to each other like we always are. Your addition to the slide that had my map on it was hilarious.
Yeah, can I just tell our listeners? We talked about how this conference was so well planned and we did all this stuff. We did not let Jeff really see the slides before we started. And I did that on purpose Friday morning because I'm like, Jeff, you don't need us to see the slides. Like, I got you. We'll ad lib it. And it was so fun because he was all professional. He was really trying to like share the information, blah, blah, blah. And I had all these goofy slides up there just to mess with him. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was really awesome. No, it was great. It was a blast. So this conference was just phenomenal. I think we've done pretty well encapsulating here and talking about it. If you're listening and you were there, we are loving everything that's been shared out with hashtag TeachBetter19 and just, you know, your reflections on it, your thoughts on it, what you loved about it, getting excited about 2020. So please, please, please keep sharing that out with hashtag TeachBetter19. I mean, I'm loving it. It kind of allows me to like relive it every day, which is just really cool. So
yeah, been super fun. And make sure you keep your eye out for TeachBetter 2020 and all the other things that we do as a team, because this was just the beginning, guys. It can only be the beginning. I love that we're able to reflect on this today. It's super fun. I'm kind of all jazzed up all over again.
Yeah. So everything, obviously, you know, you can get everything at teachbetter.com. Everything with the conference at teachbetterconference.com. Right now, obviously, it still has a lot of info from this year, but details of 2020 will be there as they come out. And obviously, we're going to be talking about it here on the podcast as it comes out. So make sure you're subscribed here. If you can leave us that rating and review, we'd really appreciate that as well. Ray, any last words for us?
No, I'm just excited to hear you take us out because you actually ended our conference with this line. So I'm ready for you to end this episode with this line.
So until next time, let's get out there and let's teach better.